In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Everything is coming to a point and to a head. The prophecies are converging, the fights and the squabbles are intensifying. The songs of the church also align today, as they must. For here the Lord comes into his temple. Here the Son has come into the city that stones the prophets and kills those sent to her. Here we are, a week from the 3 days. Let us press on to know him, dearly beloved. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. For as Isaiah says, God is indeed doing a new thing. And yet, have all of those who love that passage, who boldly claim this prophecy, have they read what it says? The new thing of God's doing? It's the Exodus. That has been the topic of many conversations among Moses and Elijah and the council of God's prophets. He makes a way through the sea. He quenches the fiery enemies of his people with a few waves as between the wetted fingers of God. He cuts a path right through the desert in all of its ferocity. Just as he laid seabeds dry, he pours forth water where only dust should blow. He gives drink to his own people, whom he formed, that they might rejoice in him who made them. But this thing is far too new for them. It means that all of their former things must pass away before it. The newness of the Lord's doing is that it is continually, perpetually new. It's not a sea change. It's not an inevitable, progressive improvement on the last model. No. There is an eternally and continually new song that arises on account of this Lord, because he gives new life always. His life is always lived on the receiving end, receiving from him this life, not seizing upon it, clinging to what we might be able to possess for ourselves. And this has been the point for as long as the Lord has had an Israel, and of course longer. His people are distinct because he leads them. They have a home because he promises it. It is of his mercies that they are not consumed each day. He brought that vine out of Egypt, out of that lush riverbank, and into the desert where everyone knows vines cannot possibly survive. But behold, he feeds them the daily bread and they flourish. He brings them through and past all of those many Gentile jackals handily. And at last he plants them, just as he promised. He causes them to take deep root. He fences them in. He digs the wine press and sets up his tower, and his workers, take note, the priests especially, who have no land of their own, they have a blessed life lived at his mercy. What more could he have done for them that he has done? But there were no grapes. There was no wine of love or joy, no pruning and fruits of repentance, no reception when he came as king to the ones that he made, to Zion, his holy hill. They knew not the day of their visitation. His mercy was neither received nor shared. He found only sacrifice, and not according to the merciful self-giving of God, but the mean, greedy, and self-chosen sort of men. He found no one interested in that song, the song that must be sung anew each day, the song of grace. He found men holed up, barricading the walls against him, bloodshed and outcry, not justice and righteousness. It all must come to a head and to a point, and everyone knows it. In Matthew's account of this parable, it's they who give the conclusion. It's so obvious, not Jesus. God will destroy those wicked tenants. Here in Luke, even that unavoidable and long foretold conclusion is met from Jesus' mouth with more empty denial. No. This is the very same denial that burns in hell and stokes its fires. Lord, have mercy that none of us have our foreheads stubbornly set like this. Remain with us, Lord, and shine your light upon us. Drive away this darkness. We pray you, never depart from us, as you did from the scribes and from the chief priests on this day. What then is the point of the prophecies of this parable of the Lord's planting? What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Christ Jesus is the point of the prophets and the apostles, their plumb line of the scriptures coming to the head of the corner in him. He is the cornerstone and keystone which holds all things together. He has come not to destroy or to condemn at all, but to bring his mercies anew. But everything comes to a head when the Son is sent, when the vine of Israel, the right-hand man made strong for God, visits his people in the flesh. There the promises and the blessings are found in him, or not at all. Life is found, dear Christians, in repentance and in the new songs of forgiveness in Christ Jesus, or they're not found at all. He is the stone that squares us up true, that holds us together, on which an eternal house is built. But he is also, therefore, the last stone, the one of stumbling and dashing for those who reject him. Jesus said, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." Lord, have mercy. When Jesus asks his second question about the cornerstone, this time he does not give an answer, because the answer is about to come. The answer is what we are pressing on to know. His hour, when the prophecy is fulfilled, when he is slain by those whom he loves. And we also hear these words of reproach spoken against us on Good Friday. And they are a great tragedy, and they are a great warning and call to repentance to us also. Even so, let us press on to know him. For the very groan, which is trembling and fear to the stubborn and guilty world around, that is the tear of Christ's compassion and mercy anew, beyond all bound, to those who see that they have not deserved so long suffering a Lord as this. Those who are hewn by Christ's words in repentance will not be shattered by them, but will be raised up with him on the third day. Behold, the inheritance of the vineyard is given away, and even, strange as it seems, even by means of the Son's death. Now he makes an Israel for himself by bringing them in. As another parable says, at all hours and from all places, whether from those wild branches or from the broken off natural ones, all that his vineyard may be full. Wild beasts come to honor him, Gentile dogs too. He grafts us, dear Christians, into his vine by means of his cross. He raises up stones to cry out in faith, and he shapes them anew after his own image. Send forth your light and your truth, O Lord, and lead us to the point and the head of all things, to Christ and to his holy hill, from which we inherit life and in whom all things are made new. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.